How did alien species become gods and goddesses on Earth? I am your host and guide, Matias Estefano. In this episode, we will dive into the origin of our mythology. The society we have today was created through the ideas of polytheism and monotheism. Monotheism through Christianity and Judaism and Islam, and polytheism through the ideas of Rome and the civilization they created through the Republic and Empire, and Greece, the idea of philosophy. So these two paths through understanding the divine on Earth were taken from different ideas that came from just one spot. Monotheism was trying to explain how the universe was just one mind, one being, expressing in many different ways. And these ways were the faces of the polytheism that honor every one of them in order to be related and to download information of God in different perspectives and different dimensions. So everyone could have a way we could connect with the wills, with the wisdom, with the love of God in different perspectives. This main idea of how polytheism and monotheism were built in history of humanity was also bounded to the idea of other beings coming from different planets and different stars. That is why we sometimes had confusion when we talk about gods, goddesses, and priests and priestesses. The idea of human gods on Earth was created in Atlantean time, and it was guided by the Arturians and the Orion people. So we could recognize the power that we had within in our blood and in our cells through the DNA. They said that every god in reality was just a projection. So what we have to do was to honor the sun as a projection of God, and after that, we had to become the sun ourselves. So the seek of enlightenment was to transform humans in suns, in moon, in stars on Earth. The main concept of the universal God and goddess was to understand that the divine was divided in different levels of consciousness. So every dimension has a way to understand the divine. And in the matter, the divine was understood through nature. Nature was the first code to understand how everything worked and how the universe worked. Life was coming through water, so we put a divine into every water and we split it in different levels of water. The sea god, the rain, the lakes, the river. So we had different perspectives of what the water was. That happened also with the fire, with earth, with air, and every concept of nature, like plants, like animals, had their way to be understood through the different shapes to get to the main core. And that is why for us, the biggest concept of gods were the ones coming from the sky. Moon, sun, the stars, those were the concepts that created our realities on Earth. And we thought they were separated. We understood that the skies and all the concepts in the unreachable reality were the most divine, and then the ones we could touch were the ones that were created in order to us to be in touch with the realities above. That's why we compare the flowers with the light of the sun, and we reach the enlightenment of the sun through the petals of the flowers. And that's where the idea of chakras and enlightenment came from. So for us, the different realities that we have seen every day that helped us to understand the power of creation in this reality would help us to understand the idea of that we were all connected through this God in different shapes. So this was something that every human, since the very beginning when we started to realize who we were on Earth, this was the concept that bound us all, that every human in every part of the world understood that all the concepts from above, the sun, the moon, the stars, were the ones creating this reality on Earth, and they were creating us through their image. So that is why, when in history, the Æsir, the Nemnir, Alithir, and other beings from the Confederation and not from the Confederation, all of them started to come to this planet from the skies, and that made the idea for humans to understand that if those people came from the stars, so they are gods from the stars. They are the ones bringing that creation, that information. That created for us the idea that those beings coming from the sun, from the stars, from the moon, were the beings that represented the divine on Earth. And that is why we begin to treat them like gods and goddesses. For the first time in humanity, when we started to recognize the divine, we use vibration words to define the energy of every god. So that's why we call the giver of the spirit, like A-N, An, and other words like Mu, like Ath. They were concepts of humans to put some vibrations in the understanding of everything. Ha, Ar, Ing were words that represented the divine in like a package of information. When we were saying Ar or An, we were talking about the sky. So we were, every word or every information that we were willing to give to our kids, to other cultures, when we would say Ar or An, these two words would represent all information in just one small sentence. So this vibration would represent the whole package of information of the skies. So when Æsir came and they saw that we were naming these concepts of gods of the universe with different vibrations, with different names, so what they did was to say to people that they were those An, Ar, Ing, those vibrations on blood. So every one of them took the name of the gods, of the divine that we try to understand. So when we were willing to talk to the sun, now we had to go to a temple. And this temple was the house of this being. So they would say, if you want to honor the sun, you have to come and give something to me so I can give the message to the sun. And this created an idea of pyramidal civilization in which the divine was only achieved through the gods on Earth. This disconnected humanity from the process of the Trinity, from the process of the realities that we were trying to achieve in the divine. And it created the idea that these gods and goddesses were the only ones that we could talk to whom we could relate to. So that's why we weren't scared of them. We took them like gods, and they could do whatever they wanted with us because we understood that they were those messengers of gods here on Earth. During the process of creation of humanity and the society of humanity, this Æsir, this Anunnaki, was spreading in the world. They were trying to conquer every human species and every human idea of the creation. So that's why they were against the first two species that were trying to help us with the wisdom. Those were the Nemnir and the Sofhir. The Nemnir were the voices of nature on Earth. So they were called the giants or the gods, the first gods on Earth that were the keepers of information of this planet and the nature. The Sofhir were the next ones that gave us the information of the Tree of Life, the wisdom of how everything was created. So that's why the snake was related to this tree that gave us the fruit of wisdom. and they worked by themselves alone in separate regions. So they were really difficult to get. They were really difficult to be in touch with. So the concepts of Nemnir and Sofhir for humans were really difficult to achieve. So that's why Aesir were so important for humans, because they were related with humans most than other species, and they claimed to be the protectors of humanity, even if half of them were trying to control us. So that's why the Aesir started to fight the first species like Nemnir and Sofhir, so they could rule the whole world. And they claimed themselves like those protecting humans from the species like snakes and the giants. Aesir took the idea that humanity understood that they were gods, and because they came from the skies, and they start to control every civilization and every species that they were creating, like the messengers of the divine. They became the middle point to connect the self with humanity. And that's why when humans were ready to become the species to control the planet, the other new giants came to this planet, who were the Arturians, the Orion people, and Sirion people. These people came after all the mess that Aesir had created in this planet, and they said, "We are the new messengers from other dimensions. We are bounded to the fifth and the sixth dimension, and they were just using you to reach their own goals in this planet." So that's why they were split in those who were protecting humanity and those who were pretending that they were protecting humanity. And they send them all to what we now call Hell, which is in the underground. The keepers of the underground would take them in the underground cities so humans could be rulers of the new civilization, of the new world. That's how Arturians, Orion people, and Sirius people, they became the new gods for humans. But they were not called gods. I remember one of them that we used to call Yusa, and she was someone that was called a god on Earth, that she was teaching to people how to relate with the divine on the stars. And I remember one of the Atlantean people asking her in the temples of the desert, "Why are you allowing that people call you God if you are not a God?" And she would say, "I never said to them to be called God, but I am a part of God. So I don't have any problem with people believing who I am, because I am." So they were teaching people how to become gods. And if they would say they were not gods, we would never want to reach their same level of consciousness. We wanted to be like them. So that's why they allowed people to call them gods, so we could reach the idea of how to be a god. So that's why Arturians, Orion people, were called gods, but they were not forcing people to be called like that. These beings, they prepare humans to make the path to become gods and goddesses on Earth. And these teachings, after the Aesir were sent to the underground, these teachings created the idea of civilizations becoming divine on Earth. And that's why they taught their sons, the sons in Mu, in Hem, and Hef, Atlantis, they taught them how to do the path to become divine on Earth. And those were the first priests and priestesses that incarnated the concepts of the divine of other dimensions on Earth. And that's how the people from Atlantis, for all the humans, became also the concepts of gods. They were not trying to be called gods, but they were guiding people to become gods. So that's why they allowed every human to call them gods on Earth, human gods. The main representative of gods that we had in the Atlantean times were Osiris, Isis, and Horus. This trinity for us is the most important because it's the latest one on being created and is the one that shaped the idea of who we are today as society. These were three priests and priestesses from Atlantean times that were the incarnation of the concepts of the mother of the divine, the father of the divine, and the creation itself, the sun, the light, which would be Horus. This family, these three people, were living beings, human beings, that represented the concepts of the divine that at the first time they call in different ways. We call this trinity of divine like Shu, Tefnut, and Geb, and it was the creation between heaven and earth. And these gods were not people, they were concepts of nature. After that, we had the feminine time of creation, what we could call the goddess Nut, Mahat, and Hathor. Nut, Mahat, and Hathor would be this feminine trinity that represented the stars, the sky, the seven laws of the universe, and the mother itself who creates every law and every star in the sky. So this trinity was brought to our material world through the Aesir, through the ancient concepts of the divine. And that made that every woman representing the divine on earth would be part of Hathor, Mahat, and Nut. That made Isis, the priestess of Atlantis, the incarnation of what we call the Holy Mother. The image of Isis was the incarnation of this divine mother, and Osiris was the incarnation of every god through fertility. So Osiris had to go through all the creation like he was representing this idea of God being bred in every part of reality. So all the concepts of the divine was fertilizing the whole River Nile. This idea became a myth in which Osiris was cut in different pieces so it could be seated in every part of the Nile. And then Isis, the mother, would put all these parts together to create the enlightenment, which would be the sun, Horus, the sun that represented the unification of every part. But they were people that represented these histories through the temples where they were living in. For us in the past, the divine of the sky was the divine of sun, then the divine of the moon, and the divine of earth. The trinity of the sun was the concept that we named like Ra, Amun, Atum. And these were the three steps in which the light was expressed in the universe. But then we had the moon, the one that put all the order on this reality, which would be Nut, Mahat, and Hathor. And from them, they created the earth, so Shu, Geb, and Neftut. And these three levels of consciousness and concepts of the divine were incarnated in the families of Atlantis in three also different levels of these three divines, which were for the sun, the trinity of Osiris, Isis, and Horus. For the moon, it was the trinity of Jahut, Jeshet, and Hornub. And in the earth was the trinity of Seth, Nephthys, and Anubis. These three trinities were the priests and priestesses incarnating the concepts of the divine that we had from the very beginning. And they were the Atlantean people that tried to teach to humans how to understand the concepts of light in the moon, light in the earth, and light in the sun. So that's why the feminine aspect of the divine mother incarnated in Nephthys, Isis, and Sheshet, was the divine mother that we still today call like Mother Mary. All the concepts of the divine were transcendent from the polytheism to the monotheism, so we could still have it. The God that is spread around all the universe in different parts, which we call God, was put in the womb of this Holy Mother and create the sun that represent the darkness, the light, and the wisdom. So we had the Holy Spirit incarnated in the sun and lighted of the universe that today we call Jesus Christ. But for ancient ones, they were called the Trinity of Hornub, Anubis, and Horus. For Atlantean people, the families, the 12 families, represented the trinities that the divine created here in different levels of consciousness. When the divine was split in many thousands and billions of parts, there were just 12 structures that represent them all, that united every aspect of reality. So these 12 structures in different dimensions, that in six dimensions were the six positive realities of Elohim and the six negative realities of Elohim, they structure the idea of the divine in different concepts that were brought to our reality through the constellations. So every human knew them because of the constellations. And when the Aesir and other beings from the galaxy came from those constellations, we attached them to 12 different gods and goddesses that were related to the information of this 12. And when Thalan had these 12 kids to create the first humans that were after that modified by the Arturians and the Orion people, they created the concept of the 12 families that created the priests and priestesses that represented the divine on Earth in a human shape. That's how we have 12 concepts of the divine in different dimensions, 12 people from the stars represented here on Earth, the alien that were called gods and goddesses, and then we have the 12 families from human beings that were called the priests and priestesses or gods and goddesses in human shape. These different families or concepts were treat them like trinities. So there were 12 trinities that represented the houses of the stars on Earth through blood and through DNA. These 12 houses were represented by one, the sun, the other one, the moon, and the other one, the underground, which was the darkness. Then we have the four pillars, which is Earth, water, air, and fire. These four houses gives the other three that represents the trinity of the divine, which is the will, love, and wisdom. And they are all bounded by two houses called the space and time. These 12 phases of reality, these 12 trinities that were born through the blood of the Aesir and also the Arturian people, they created in matter the keepers of this information of these houses through blood. And that is why they were related with the gods and goddesses on Earth, because in their own blood, they had the patterns, the story, the history of their families coming from the stars, from the portals in those constellations. So that's why they were called gods and goddesses on Earth in human shape. So the concepts and the ideas that we have of gods and goddesses today is really mistaken by history, because the concepts of gods were taken by different beings, aliens, priests, to try to explain in different times, in different levels, in different temples, in different schools, what they really represented. And that is why when we think about Egyptian gods and goddesses, which were the first ones with the Sumerian people to organize the pantheon of all the gods, what we have about them is this idea of a divine, but represented through people that came from the stars and people that were alive in ancient times. That is why we cannot understand the divine through the people and the gods that were living in history. We have to go farther and beyond the concept that they represented. There were not many gods in history. There were many people, humans, and people from Aesir Anunnaki that represented a concept of the divine that every being had in the whole universe, and that they were just trying to explain it or represent it so humans could understand it and be ruled by it. Thank you for joining me on this journey. I am your host and guide, Matias Estefano. In the next episode, we will explain how these priests and priestesses could channel information from other dimensions.